On Sunday morning, we talked about a difficult passage of Scripture. One of the things I lamented was that God didn't orchestrate things for Hagar in the manner that seems best to me, based on my 21st century view of how a victim should be cared for. As I thought about it on Sunday, I floated the idea that God was acting within what was while working towards what will be. Today, we're going to spend some more time thinking about the idea that what is today may not be what will be or even should be tomorrow, but that maybe that is okay. And maybe it's more than okay. It's amazing. How does this embracing the idea of progress over arrival impact our approach to Scripture, to God, and ultimately to ourselves? That's today on the Covenant Weekly Podcast, Season 2, Episode 16, X to Y to Z, Part 1. It is easy when reading the Bible to forget that it was written in a particular place and time that was very different than our own. And often, the time and place it was written in were very different than the place and time of the events being described. And even within the Bible, there are times when writers affirmed what had happened in the past, other times they critique it. There are times they affirm it for the time that it had happened, but suggest that movement forward calls for something new in their new place and time. There seems to be progress and change on many topics and issues, even within the pages of Scripture. This can make it really hard for someone who has been taught that their primary approach to working out the Christian faith is to, quote, obey the Bible, end quote. And I suspect many of us have been taught to do just that. But what does it mean to obey the Bible when the Bible itself shifts and change and moves depending on the time and place the particular book or letter was written in? We have to, in the words of one book that wrestled with this question, move beyond the Bible to theology. One of the contributors to that book was a professor of mine who observed the shifts in perspective that take place in the Bible. He noticed that most often what was taught in one time and place, when held up against the ideas and practices in the world around it at the same time and place, you know, the Bible said things about God or humanity or ethical living that stood apart from the rest of the world around it. The belief or practice put forward in Scripture was closer to the way of love, the way of Jesus, than what the world around it believed or practiced. Looking at later parts of Scripture when the same topic was addressed differently, very often the new biblical approach presented then moved things even further in the direction of love, what we saw taught by Jesus. And, you know, even in the New Testament, after Jesus' death and resurrection, we see movement forward that gets made in the direction of what Jesus had taught. Bill Webb, my professor and the author of a book on this, suggests that this movement is very intentional. He calls it redemptive movement hermeneutic, and it is pointing us forward beyond the Bible in the direction of what is ultimately true about God, about humanity, or about ethics. If we represent what is first taught with the letter X, we can observe progression related to its original context. When we look at a later time in Scripture, we very often see movement as well. That later teaching could be represented with the letter Y. So X progresses beyond its place and time. Y progresses beyond its place and time. But there's also progression from X to Y. There's a trajectory that we see from X towards Y. But it also reasons that Y is not an endpoint. The trajectory doesn't go from X to Y, it goes from X through Y and continues to point forward to what Webb describes as an ultimate ethic or what is ultimately true. There are huge implications of this idea for engaging with the Bible. The Bible becomes something we engage with to get pointed in the right direction and not a static text to be blindly obeyed. This approach also gives us a tool to resolve apparent conflict within the Bible on given issues. And it can help us engage honestly with things that if we had to accept that it was part of God's plan for all time, it would seem unacceptable to us. Now, I know that this can sound very academic and digging into how we read the Bible can feel very challenging. You know, even if we think it's important, it can be hard. But thinking about things this way not only impacts how we engage the Bible, it says something about God. It affirms the idea that God works within what is while working towards what will be. The picture we have of God in the Bible is not of a being who acts the same towards all people at all times. There are those who suggest that because God never changes, and we affirm that God never changes, but they suggest that God's way of acting and speaking can never change. And that simply doesn't seem to be the case in the Bible. If God acts within what is while working towards what will be, our unchanging God seems very likely to act and speak in ways that change as an accommodation to those of us who can only ever exist within our time and place. This is a powerful demonstration of love shown to people throughout biblical history. But it also suggests that God does that for us. And it seems likely that God does it both at the macro level, kind of within cultures and histories, and at the micro level, meeting us in what we need in our personal lives. This is not to say that God is whatever we want God to be or whatever we make God out to be. It's not saying that God's ethical desires change based on our whims and preferences. I'm convinced that we can easily wander beyond the character of God as revealed in Jesus. We need to keep the character and teaching of Jesus central to discerning the ways God is meeting us today and calling us to live ethically today. All the while, we recognize that Jesus lived and taught in a particular place and time, so there's still work to be done to discern God's ultimate ethic by following the direction Jesus points us in. For some, I know that this way of understanding Scripture and understanding God can be hard to consider because it flies in the face of what we've learned, of what some parts of the church have argued for over the past 100 years. But perhaps the picture of God it paints for us can help overcome some of the fears we may have. When we walk through Scripture with this perspective, we find a God who is so loving that he has been meeting people within their context since the dawn of time. We find a God who is here and doing the same for us today. On this topic of things moving slowly from what is towards what will be, there are some things that can be helpful for us on Sundays that we haven't got back to doing just yet. We've been working with what is while we wait to be able to get to what will be. I'd like to highlight three of those things for you and invite you to consider if you could get involved with helping with a couple of those things. The first is just an update. As a part of keeping our kids safe, we are supposed to have a thorough sign-in and sign-out procedure for them on Sunday. In our slow return back to in-person gatherings, this hasn't started yet, but we're getting ready to do it in the next couple of weeks. When you come in on Sunday, perhaps this Sunday, perhaps the next, there will be a sign-in computer for kids and youth. Parents or even the older kids themselves will sign their kids in as they move through the lobby for the morning. A sticker will get printed, and one part of the sticker goes on the child for the morning. The other part is kept by a parent or guardian. After the service, the parent or guardian with the sticker will go and pick the kids up, and the kids will get signed out. You know, sometimes in smaller churches like ours, it's easy to think, hey, we all know each other. Is it really necessary to do this step? The answer is that we hope it's not necessary, but we'd rather be safe in having this extra layer of protection for our kids than to see something tragic happen. So watch for that system in our lobby in the next couple of weeks. When it's set up, somebody should be with it to help people get oriented with it. A second thing we'd love to bring back is a team of greeters. Basically, a greeters team is two people who just welcome people at the door, help point them in the direction for things that they need, and answer any questions they may have. Greeters could help point people towards the kids' registration, for example, or could help guide them to some seats if they're looking for where to sit, or they could help someone know where the washrooms are. The position is a mix of host and guide for kind of the 20 to 25 minutes before the service and probably 5 minutes as the service gets rolling. We have one couple who has already said that they would be willing to be one of the teams and they would be willing to coordinate this. So we would love to have four teams working on rotation. So if you would be willing to do this once every 4 weeks, either signing up with another person or signing up by yourself and being connected with someone else, you know, you can talk to Terry Dupuy if you have his contact info, or reach out to me, john@covenantchurch.ca, and I'll connect you with Terry. The third thing, perhaps the most exciting for many of us, is that we are looking to resume coffee service on a regular basis on Sunday mornings. Letitia Jeffkins has agreed to coordinate this, but we don't want one person doing it each week. We'll be working to figure out ways to keep this simple for those who are making the coffee and cleaning up, but it does take some work. If you're interested, again, you can talk to Letitia if you have her contact information, or reach out to me as we look to build a team to do this on a rotating basis. One suggestion I have to help save some work for those making coffee each week is to bring your own mug. It could be a short tumbler-like travel mug that will fit under our coffee crafts, or it could just be a regular mug that you want to bring with you on Sundays. It'd be kind of fun to see what kind of mugs people have and bring. If people bring their own, that is less cleaning for those who are making the coffee, and it's better than using a disposable cup. So we'll see how progress goes in getting things rolling again. You know, as we're not necessarily where we want to be, but we're working our way there slowly together. Next week on the podcast, in the message, we're going to get into part two of this idea of embracing progress and God's presence with us each day. But for now, as you go, may you be encouraged by the reminder that God is with you today. In your time, in your place, God is with you. God bless. Go in peace.